In the spirit of what we've just heard from Max about promises from God and about the promise of people that God would give him for his life, I couldn't help but sit there and think about the fact that there are a good many of us in this room who are part of that promise, that we're part of God's answer or God's fulfillment of that promise. And so I'm just going to take up where Max left off and continue for a little while. If 2 Timothy 2:2 is indeed a valid principle, and if multiplication, life to life, and the kind of sharing that Max has just laid out for us so beautifully, is God's primary plan for infecting people with evangelism and with sharing, then it ought to get broader and broader and wider like a river that starts at a very small beginning and then ends up being an enormous body of water and finally an ocean. And that is exactly what happened in the early church through the same contagious, exciting, God-anointed way that we have just heard. Now, you're familiar with 2 Timothy 2:2, I believe, and the things which thou hast heard in the presence of many witnesses, the same commit unto what kind of folks? Faithful people, faithful men and women. And they'll be identified by the fact that they do what? They teach others also. Very simply, the concept is one of, as you freely receive, what? Freely give. At noon today, I had the opportunity to also share a brief word of testimony, and it's something I never get to do, and I think this is probably a good setting in which to share, because discipleship is more caught than taught anyway. And I'll just kind of pick up where Max left off. My introduction into his story, I think, was a rather humorous one, in that Max was invited to Baylor. And I don't know how often Max had been to Baylor before. Maybe never. I think Max is nodding affirmatively that that was the first time. And since we're old tape, I'll not quote that. But let me simply say that he didn't come to Baylor real often back in those years, except to meet with four or five of us. But the first time Max came to campus, there was a group of about 40 of us who assembled. I'd never heard of Max, never seen Max. I had been told that he went to Texas A&M, and that was not exactly, you know, the kind of thing that would just make you, as a Baylor student, just make you run to the meeting. You know what I'm saying? And, some people had tried to describe Max to me, and they tried to say the way in which he spoke. And he's very, very soft-spoken, and they just said, come and listen. Well, about 40 of us who were missions volunteers, ministerial students, young evangelists, so forth, got together to be with Max, expecting him to come and speak to us. But I'll never forget what he did. Walked in the room, sat down. I was a freshman. And he said, isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Everybody agreed. He said, before I share from the Word today, I just think that this is a prime opportunity for every one of you to have an opportunity to share from the Scriptures. And he said, I'd like you to take maybe 5 verses from your whole lifetime that are your very choice favorite ones. And I'd like for you just to share those verses right quick as we begin the meeting, and share with us the references so we can jot them down and go have the joy of looking them up, getting to know them better, and we can just exchange jewels with each other, these verses. Oh, I was horrified. He wanted us to do that from memory. 5 verses. Now, after all, we were only ministerial students, evangelists, mission volunteers, and sort of the super saints of the campus. It was very intimidating. As I recall, and I was kind of horror struck, so I may have forgotten some of it, but about 5 students got all the easy verses right off the bat. Man, you know, about each one of them shared 3, 4, 5 verses, and that was about 25 verses, and that was a whole lot of verses. You know, and all the good ones were gone. And 35 students out of the 40 students there, as I recall, could not share 5 verses from memory from their whole lifetime and give a reference. And then after seeing the situation, Max shared from the Word, and I cannot even remember one syllable of what he said. Because what could not be done by those of us in that room was so convicting to me that nothing else really mattered to me in that whole session. I went back to my room absolutely in awe of the fact that we were getting ready to evangelize the world and had no bullets in our guns. We had nothing to fight with. We didn't know the Word. I can't remember what happened next. I can't remember if I talked with Max or if he just was kind enough to hang around and chat with us, or I just don't remember what happened. But I do know that the next thing I remember is a Volkswagen. Did you used to drive a little Volkswagen? Well, the second impression over these years that stuck with me was Max coming down from, I believe, a hospital where he was on BSU staff, with nurses, I think. Parkland, I believe, hospital in Dallas, as I recall. And it was, nobody was telling Max to come down to Baylor and meet with 4 or 5 of we ministerial students, but somehow that little Volkswagen would make its way from Dallas down to Waco on his own nickel. And just God was telling him to do it. God was providing for him to do it. None of us knew how it was happening. And this went on for about 6 months, as I recall, and there were 5 of us. And I can remember vividly the 5 fellows. And we would meet with him sometimes as a group, and often if we could get a chance, we'd meet with him individually. And we just learned simple things, just like he shared with you. I remember the first verse he ever taught me was 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into what? Fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'd had a terribly difficult time with stability in my Christian life coming out of high school because nobody did train me or disciple me in high school. And I can remember agonizing over it and going to the Baptist World Youth Conference overseas, hoping to find some answers and not really finding them. And then finally, in desperation, just this was before Max came along. This was the summer preceding, in fact, only a few weeks before. In desperation, trying to get stability in my life, I had seen two young men with crosses on their lapels, and I was in Interlaken, Switzerland, en route back to the States from this Baptist Youth Conference. And I told my buddies that I was with that I would just, if they wouldn't mind, I'd like to be alone 2 or 3 days with God to just try to get things sorted out in my life with Him. And when I saw these crosses on these fellows' lapels, I thought, well, you know, they must be Christians, and so I'll follow them and see if there isn't some fellowship somewhere and maybe some answers for me. I just need to have a retreat. So my buddies went on to Geneva, and I went on up to this little town called Murin. And when I got up there, I found out that there was a man teaching the Bible by the name of Alan Redpath. Another man by the name of Tom Rees. Now, Tom Rees would have been the Billy Graham of Great Britain back in those years. He's gone to be with the Lord now sometime. He was a great evangelist. And I remember as I went into the little, there was a little house across from the hotel where you could stay bed and breakfast real cheap. I was traveling on a student economy. And so I went in and stayed in the cheapest room I could find and looked out the window and said, God, if I can only find stability, some way to grow in my Christian life, please help me. If there's anybody that can come to me to help me, if there's just any help for me. I've gone to Lebanon looking for it. I've gone all the way around the world. I've been in India for 2 months and other countries with missionaries trying desperately to find the key to unlock Christian growth for me. And nothing seemed to help. I tried standing up praying. It didn't seem to do any good. So I got on my knees. And I remember looking out the window and a cloud floated by. I was on the outside of about a 1,500 foot drop looking out over the Jungfrau. And it would just make your stomach, you know, jump to look out the window because you were so high. And I looked out at that mountain. I said, God, I can't get any higher. Physically in this world, I can't get any closer to you. And yet my prayers seem like lead. Have you all ever had that experience? And so finally, in desperation, I got on my stomach to pray, which is the first time in my life I can ever remember breathing dust trying to pray. And I got down there weeping, and I said, God, I just need a word. I just need some word from you about what will make the difference to get me growing. Nothing seems to help. When I got up after praying, I dried my face, put on a suit, decided to walk across the street where there was a restaurant at the hotel. Now, I did not know that Alan Redpath nor Tom Reese were ministering there at that hotel until this next thing happened. I walked in the lobby of the hotel, and one of those strange, beautiful experiences of life happened. There was a man dressed in a charcoal gray suit, with black hair and beautifully keen black eyes. He was probably 60. And with a very commanding, authoritative voice, he spoke to me and said, young man, I challenge you in the name of Almighty God to memorize Scripture. It was just like a voice from heaven. I stood there and looked at the man for a moment. And I said, sir, not 30 minutes ago, I was laying on my stomach begging God, pleading with God to speak to me, to tell me what I needed to do to begin to grow in my Christian life. And I said, I accept your word as heaven's word to me. And he said, good. He put his arm around me and he said, by the way, you don't seem like you're from Britain. I said, no, sir. I said, I'm from Texas. And he said, you don't happen to know so-and-so, do you? And call the name of my cousin by marriage, who had been one of the great spiritual influences in my life. He said, he's the only person I know in Texas. I said, he would be my cousin. I said, you know, this is incredible. And he never told me who he was, you see. And he said, well, young man, we welcome you here. We have come from England for a fortnight Bible study in the Word. And I would like to invite you to join us. I said, sir, you don't know how much that means to me. I'll join you. So that night I went to the study after supper, sat down in the room, and he began to stand up. I didn't know he was the teacher. I thought he was just one of the laymen or something. And he got up and he quoted the whole first chapter of 2 Corinthians by memory in such a natural way, just sharing it. Kind of quote a little, preach a little, explain a little, quote a little, preach a little, explain a little, and just went through the whole thing. Well, about halfway through it, I was in awe. I'd never seen anything like this in my life. And you know, in my church, they took a text and departed from it. I didn't know what it was like to do this. So I turned to the lady next to me and I said, this is incredible. I said, I have never seen anything like this. I said, you know, this man acts like he, you know, he just, it flows out of him. He just seems to know it. And the lady looked at me as if almost indignant. I mean, she was trying to be nice, but it was just kind of a very crisp, you know. She said, well, he ought to. He's memorized the whole thing. Just like you wrote it or something. I mean, her attitude was, you know, well, what else would he, you know, like. Now, Tom Reese had memorized the whole New Testament. He was much like Dawson Trotman in his commitment to Scripture memory. And I found out a little bit more about him while I was there in that fortnight conference. I went back to my room. I didn't need to stay 3 days up there. I listened to Dr. Redpath briefly. I listened to Tom Reese. It was absolutely moving to one's heart. And I began to memorize my first verses of Scripture. Now, this was a few weeks before Max came to Baylor. Max, I don't know if you've ever understood the series of these events either. But I said a while ago I was a freshman. I want to correct that. I was a sophomore, beginning sophomore, when Max came to Baylor. I had just been through this experience during the summer of beginning to get a commitment to Scripture memory. But by the time he got to our campus, I hadn't learned enough verses to amount to anything. I didn't know how to start, so I just picked my favorite book in the Bible, and I got the impression from listening to Tom Reese that you're just supposed to memorize the whole thing. So I just thought, well, I'll start with my favorite book and memorize the New Testament. So I started out and learned the book of Philippians by memory, which is very slow for me because I'm extremely poor at Scripture memory. But by the grace of God, I did it with the help of two sweet girls. One whom I had dated before going to the Baptist World Youth Conference for a year, and one whom I began to date 2 weeks after my return. In any case, I challenged Judy Riddle to Scripture memory and a girl by the name of Ruth Brown. After I had my first date with Ruth, I never had a date with anybody else, and she is my sweetheart and my wife today. And we memorized the book of Philippians together on our dates. And it justifies a lot of dating, fellas. We had a little agreement that since I love lemon icebox pie and she's very fond of chicken livers, we made an agreement that she would not let me eat a piece of lemon icebox pie at Sam Coates restaurant unless I could quote a verse for every bite that I ate. So I would quote my way through these beautiful pieces of lemon icebox pie and she'd work her way through chicken livers. And that was how we learned the book of Philippians. It took about 6 months. Those were exciting times. And Max and Sandra were very fond of each other and seeing a good deal of each other back in those years. And we became real close to them and real prayer partners. And Max invested in our lives for, I just don't remember how many months. I've often said 6 months, but it may have been a year. But I can remember just spots along the way. I remember one day he came to San Angelo to my home with me. And we had some friends over, about 8 or 9 of them, and we got a little chalkboard out, and he taught us the thing called the bridge illustration. Now, how many of y'all know the bridge illustration? Let me see your hands. That's most of you. Well, that was the first time anybody had ever shown me a systematic way to share your faith. I absolutely loved it. So I began to share it. And sure enough, I found that if you share, people do get saved. You know the reason more people are not being converted? It's because we're not witnessing. If you plant the seeds, they'll grow. And if you share your faith, they'll grow. Or the Lord will honor it. And people will accept Christ. And we saw that pretty soon. In fact, I can remember meeting with Max on one occasion. And I was a little discouraged because I'd led a few people to Christ on the campus already with the bridge. But I found it took me 12 minutes to share it. And I was having difficulty on this particular occasion finding anybody with 12 to 15 minutes of time on their hands for me to lead them to Christ. I've always remembered this so funny. I said, Max, I can't do it. There's nobody with 15 minutes. And he looked at me and he said, haven't you ever heard of sharing a word of truth? I said, no, what's that? He said, well, all you need to do is just say a little thing that's true about God, and that's witnessing. If you say, the Lord loves you, that's a witness. You can do that in 15 seconds. You don't need 12, 15 minutes. You can just plant a little seed. I said, that is wonderful. Now, that he told me that, and the next weekend, I was to go preach down in Uvalde, Texas, at First Baptist Church. And I was taking Ruth with me. So we were in the car going down there, and we pulled into a filling station. And I had been discussing with her this new way to witness that Max had just shared with me. And I said, you know, that really sounds like fun. I think that'll be exciting to try that. Well, I was short of time and short of gas. And so pulled into the station, walked in to try to get the fellow to look after my car. And it was this great big guy that looked to be maybe 20, 21. He wasn't very old, but he was just a huge guy. No personality. Zero. And he put gasoline in the car, and I watched him, and you know, it was just like nothing was happening in his mind. And he put this gas in the car, and I looked at Ruth, and I said, honey, I really have an impression that I'm supposed to witness that guy. And she said, you don't have time. She said, you don't have 12 or 15 minutes. See, she'd learned the same way to witness I had. And I said, Ruth, but there's this new way, the share word of truth that Max told me about. Let me go in and try that. She said, well, I'll pray for you. So I went in, I looked at this guy, and he was standing over by the cash register. I didn't know how to start, and I prayed going in. I said, Father, please give me the right words, because this guy's so big. Really a moose. And I don't have time. And so I went in, I looked at this old boy, and I said, I have a message for you. He looked at me and he said, you do? I said, yeah, it's from God. From who? I said, I just got a message, you know, for you, to you from the Lord. And he said, well, what is it? I said, God loves you, sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. And he's waiting upon your response to what he did. And he'd like to forgive you for the sins that you've committed and come in your heart and change your life. And the guy just stared at me. Now, some people have a zip, 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 zip. You know, he had a clunk, 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 clunk. And he was trying to compute it. You know, it was going through. And I said, now, this is all, I was really under pressure because I was supposed to preach within a very short time down the road. And I said, now, I don't have any time to explain any more to you than that, but I want to deliver that message to you, and what you do with it, what you do with Jesus Christ is totally up to you. But I hope that you'll accept it. Words to that effect. I went back slowly to the car, got in the car, looked back to check on him, and the guy was still standing there staring at about where I'd been standing. Ruth looked at me and she said, how'd it go? I said, he didn't hit me. He listened. I think it went great. So I began doing that from that day forward. And that's been a practice now for many years. About 20 years now. And I want you to know that by just sharing a word of truth, scores of people have said, yes, I'm interested. And then you have the chance to share the bridge with them. Just planting that little seed, sowing that little opportunity, that little moment in which you find out if they're interested. And then, if they are, share your testimony with them. Or if they are, take them through the bridge illustration. That was one of the things that was very beneficial, deeply beneficial in my life. But more important, it was a particular day when Max had pretty well sized the five of us up. Now, my memory is very vivid about this particular day and not vivid on many others. And so, I may be missing some things I should say, but this was in front of Tidwell Bible Building back at Baylor. And on this particular occasion, Max got with us, and I don't know how the Lord had led him to do this, but it was very helpful to me. And it was strong. And sometimes in discipleship, you've got to be that way. But all five of us were ministerial students. And on this particular occasion, he stood down below us. I remember just exactly where we were standing and everything on those steps. And he said, fellas, 15 years from today, you are not going to be men of God. We were smitten. We just did not know how to respond. I didn't know whether to hug him, hit him, laugh, cry, what to do. I mean, how would you like to have somebody tell you that 15 years from today you're not going to be a man of God? And you could see conviction in their face. They believe that. All five of us wanted to know the answer to that question. Why? But we were all a little bit afraid to verbalize it. So Max said, "Do you want to know why?" And every one of us said, "Yes, we do want to know why." Here was his answer. "Because not one of you has intended to be in the first place. Not really. I walked away. I don't even remember saying goodbye to Max. I made my way straight for the dormitory to my room in Brooks Hall and got on my knees and wept for a half an hour and said, 'God, Max is right.' I don't know about the other four guys, but he's right about me. That I am perfectly satisfied with living an ordinary Christian life and never aspiring to be a man of God." Now, to me, there's a difference between being a man of God and a Christian. All of us should be men of God, and it should be the same for all of us. To be a Christian should be to be a man of God. But unfortunately, as you very well know, that is not synonymous in many of our lives. And in my life, I was willing to be another ministerial student on campus. The old saying, "Hail fellow well met," to be well liked, to be one of the gang. But it all changed that day. When I got off my knees, there was a new resolution in my heart that I would prove Max Barnett wrong. And that if I had the opportunity to live long enough, that by the grace of God, I would persevere to let Christ be whatever He wanted to be in my life. Now the Scripture says, "For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good" what? "Pleasure." And it is His good pleasure for you to be a woman of God or a man of God. And it really wasn't to prove Max wrong so much as to prove him right. I wanted to be able to see what would happen in 15 years, and then in 30 and 45. Of the five men that were standing in front of Tidwell Bible Building that day, all five were ministerial students. To the best of my knowledge, of the five of us, I think I'm the only one left in the gospel ministry today. To my knowledge, and I knew the other four men very well, I don't believe that his comment broke their hearts like God wanted it to. And as he said to me once upon a time, I say to you tonight, with all sincerity, there are a large number of you here tonight who will not be men or women of God 15 years from today. You know why? Because you don't really intend to be. Not really. Let's pray. I can't pray this prayer for you. I had to pray it for myself. So why don't you just bow your head and talk to God the way you want to. And I need to do it all over again, because 15 years from today I may not be a man of God. I may not be one tomorrow. It's by the grace of God and by the resolute commitment of one's own heart, day by day, hour by hour, that we establish that walk with Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if you were to be able to lay down the weights that are holding you to normalcy and mediocrity in your walk with God? And if somehow you'd rather die than live a life of a pell-mell, ordinary, just another Christian? What would it be like if out of this group of people tonight could come a new generation of people that would become the BSU directors to a whole new part of the world. What would it be like tonight if a missionary army were to come up out of this group of people that would affect foreign countries around the world? And what would happen tonight if Jesus Christ were given total lordship and that godly businessmen would come out of this group who would be the pews and the Jarmans and the Wars and the Watts and the men of wisdom who would give leadership in the lay community in the future? And what would happen if tonight Jesus Christ were to be able to touch the hearts of women and the great women of God of the future would be able to be started on their journey through an honest commitment alone with the Father here in this room right now, tonight? What Max described to us earlier was the sovereignty of God. But I have no question in my heart but what all of us being here together tonight from our various backgrounds and campuses is also part of the sovereignty of God. Lord Jesus, we pray together that this might not be a night with business as usual, but that the story which has been told about one life touching another might continue tonight, and that many lives tonight would be touched by the Spirit of the living Christ, and that we might see no one, hear no one, think of no one, but rivet our attention upon Him tonight, be lost in Him, fall in love with Him passionately, in a whole new way, in a whole new dimension, and that inexplicably, tonight will be the beginning of a new beginning, a change, a start in a direction with destiny. Father, we pray that we might be part of the generation that would have the privilege of bringing the Great Commission into reality, that we might have a vital part in multiplying to the ends of the earth, and that we might have the courage of our convictions, and that this will not be a high devotional moment, but a time of steely, hard, adult, mature commitment, and that we will make the decision that come what may, our objective will be to go, to be gold, not just silver, and that we will seek, by the grace of God, to let You be everything in our lives You desire to be, that we might be men and women of God. We know that doesn't happen by accident, but by choice. And so tonight we're choosing. As you continue in the privacy of your own prayers, if you have heard God through Max's testimony and through the scriptures that have been shared tonight, and if you've heard God throughout this conference thus far, and already He's calling you to make a deep commitment to be a man or woman of God, and you said yes, not on an emotional basis, but with your will, then I'm going to ask you to signify it in some way that will be meaningful to Him. And this is not for anybody else to see, and certainly not for me, but I would just like for you to verbalize the word yes. Say yes to Him right now. Yes. He hears you, and it's just between the two of you, but yes. Father, for the yeses in our hearts tonight that You're giving us the ability to pronounce, we give Thee praise. We ask that we might be able, as Tom comes and share with us, to move into application of these yeses. And that tomorrow we'll go deeper in Thy Word and learn how to live it out. And oh God, help us all, help me, Father, especially, that we might be able just to be transparent and honest one with the other as to our needs and to help each other be all that you want us to be, men and women of God. We ask these things in Christ's name and for His glory and for His sake alone. Amen.